We all know it is good to read to our children, but tell me about some research that speaks to the value of reading to your children at a young age.
We really have so much research that shows how important it is to read aloud to children. We know that reading to children encourages them to become readers themselves. It's our major motivational tool. We know that children who are read to do better in school. We know that children who are read to have larger vocabularies. In fact, in the 1980s, there was a national commission that was given the job of overviewing or looking over 10,000 research reports and coming up with some conclusions. What do we know for sure about helping children learn to read? And their major conclusion was that the single most important activity for building the knowledge required for success in reading was reading aloud to children. So we've known for a long time that it's very, very important. A more recent piece of research is really interesting. They looked at four-year-olds and the amount of time that four-year-olds had been read to, and they discovered that the kids who had been read to by the age of four had heard over 32 million more words than kids who had not been read to. And so that kind of difference, they're going to start school with that huge advantage over the kids who haven't been read to. And very probably the kids who have not been read to are not ever going to make that up.
Are there a lot of households where children don't get read to?
There are. In studies, what they found is that it goes along with socioeconomic status, which is another way of saying it goes along with culture. It's not that people who make more money love their children more. It's not that at all. But it does mean that the people who tend to be of higher socioeconomic status also tend to belong to a culture that's very more focused around books. And so it does tend to line up in those ways.
Are there any tips for making this interactive with a very young baby as opposed to like a preschooler?
Sure. Well, even very tiny ones can touch a book. They can taste the book. You know, you let them chew on it, gnaw on it. They can start to copy some of the sounds that you're saying. And, of course, with all young children, what you're really doing is talking about the book much more than you're reading it. So from the time they can start to babble, you can ask them, well, what is this? And they can sort of babble their answer, or you can have them point to things. Where's the doggy in the picture? And they'll point to that. As they get a little bit older, they might point to something and say, oh, doggy. And then the adult sort of expands on that and says, yeah, that's a doggy, isn't it? What do you think he's going to do? And we know that that kind of activity where the adult expands on the child's language is really critically important for language development.
What are some examples of books that offer those types of opportunities when you're dealing with a really young child?
Oh, good question. With very young children, what you want is bright colors, very simple pictures, because they're just not ready to process a lot more. Pictures of everyday things. A lot of times, there's not much of a story. It's more of just pictures of things.
Well, what are the pros and cons of using a tablet reader to read to your child?
You know, that's one thing I really don't know very much about is tablet readers. I've seen a few of them, and my personal prejudice is probably for books because I grew up with books. But, you know, anytime you've got a parent and a child together looking at whether it's a book or a tablet, that's going to be a wonderful bonding opportunity. So I can't honestly say that there can be anything wrong with tablets.
As the mother of a two-year-old, what is your advice when your child wants to read a book over and over and over again?
Do it.
Okay.
Yeah. And they do. They go through that stage where they find a story that somehow, oh, it speaks to them in some way. It can be emotionally satisfying. There's just something about that book, and we never really know what. But if they want to hear it over and over, I would say absolutely do it. And we also know that the more that they hear any kind of story, the more that they're learning about how stories work, the more they're picking up on vocabulary. So it does get, you know, may get a little repetitive for the adult, but it is an important thing for the kid. They're obviously enjoying it.
If you're in a family with multiple children, is it okay to read to the group, or should you make an effort to read to each child individually or both? What are your recommendations?
Yeah, I would say both. Reading to each child individually is such a wonderful way to show that child that he or she is important. He has your absolute attention. And it's just a wonderful bonding experience. And the child learns to think of reading in terms of this wonderful situation where, you know, mom and dad are paying attention to me and I'm sitting on their laps. And so I wouldn't want any child to miss out on that one-on-one. Having said that, though, it's certainly okay to read to several children together, as long as you kind of keep in mind that what you're reading to them is going to be emotionally appropriate for the child, just not something that's a little too much for them to handle. Children can listen to stories that are quite complex long before we think they can. They really are good at comprehending, as long as we're not asking them for something that's sort of beyond where they are emotionally. But there are a lot of benefits to reading to kids that go beyond building the vocabulary and knowing that they're going to make good grades in school. There are lots of other things that are happening. And some of those include, you know, building kids' imaginations. It's really important because they're sitting there and they're listening to a story, and they have to use their imaginations to build that whole picture, which, of course, we don't on television. The picture's all done. But listening to stories, we have to build all of that ourselves. So it's really important for things like building your imagination. It's also so much that we learn about the world and that we can learn about ourselves and other people. One of the main ways I think that people learn to empathize with each other is through reading books and hearing books about other people who maybe are like them. So there's a lot of things that are hard to quantify but are still really important.
Can you share some trusted online resources for helping discover quality books, you know, sources for age-appropriate books and or maybe award-winning books?
Yes. Probably the greatest resource that I know of has been around for decades, actually. It's a book called The Read Aloud Handbook by Jim Trelease, and now it's online. So you can go online, just do a search for Jim Trelease, Trelease. It just talks to parents about how important it is to read aloud, but also gives you some tips, you know, what to do and what not to do. And then a big section of the book is examples of what makes a good read aloud book for different ages. Because some books are maybe wonderful when you read them to yourselves, but they don't automatically make good read alouds.
When you said what to do and what not to do, do you maybe have some examples of what,
sure,
what not to do? That's piqued my curiosity.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. He thinks what to do and what not to do. Well, he gives some tips like for parents, you don't want to make reading a punishment. And then, of course, using expression in your voice. And if you can do different voices for different characters, you know, that's always really good. You do want to remember to just read slowly. So he's got lots of really good tips.
What impact do adult reading habits have on kids' habits? Would my child be more likely to model the behavior later on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lots and lots of research has shown just that children who grow up in households where there's someone who reads are so much more likely to do better in school because they've become interested in reading. So, yeah, having role models that read to you, but also that you see reading, is critically important for children.
I think it'd be great if we could talk about or maybe list some of our favorite children's books or authors. I'm sure you've got access to a wealth of knowledge about different children's books. I'd love to hear some of your top ones.
I would love to. I'm so excited to tell you about a new author, relatively new, whose name is Mo Willems. Mo Willems is an Emmy Award-winning writer for Sesame Street. He wrote for Sesame Street for years and years. He is, I think, the new Dr. Seuss. He's that good, and I think he's going to be around for that long. He's got a series of books about a pigeon. The first one's called Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus. And every child I've shared that with just absolutely goes crazy. It is so wonderful. So there's this whole series of books about the pigeon who's, you know, begging for something. He's also written books about a little stuffed bunny called Nuffle Bunny, or it might be Knuffle Bunny, I'm not sure. He won the Caldecott for one of those. And my favorite, he's got a little series of books about Elephant and Piggy. And they're written especially for beginning readers. You know, a lot of times when children have been read to, it's a little bit hard when they start to read themselves because they're used to these great stories and suddenly they can't read a whole lot of words yet, but he's written these absolutely hilarious stories about, you know, an elephant and a piggy who are friends. And they are just perfect for beginning readers and just wonderful. I might mention nonfiction. We don't usually think of reading nonfiction to kids. And for a long time, it was really hard to find nonfiction that's appropriate for younger kids. But it has gotten so much better in the past 10 years, especially. Nonfiction for little ones has gotten so much better. And I do have a favorite author and illustrator of nonfiction books. His name is Steve Jenkins. And he's written some of them and then just illustrated some of them. His pictures are all made of torn tissue paper. They're really, really beautiful, and most of those are aimed toward younger kids. And kids are really interested about, you know, in reading about animals and the world and so forth. So that's one thing to think about, is not to overlook nonfiction.
A book that's in our rotation at home is The Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats.
That was really a groundbreaking book when it came out, The Snowy Day. And it's still in print, which is unusual. Most children's books stay in print for a very short amount of time, and they just kind of die and you don't see them anymore. That one, of course, has been in print since 1962, and it was so groundbreaking because it was the first time that a mainstream book, just a children's book, had an African-American child as the main character. It's just about a little boy. He goes out and plays in the snow, and he just happens to be African-American. But that was really groundbreaking at the time.
Well, thanks, Sharon, for stopping by today and joining us for Sounds Good on this really interesting topic about reading to your child.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.